Good morning, everyone. I superseded the pastor's authority and passed out the hymnals for you this morning, and they were used at the last Mass, so no guarantees. But I think pretty much all of us are vaccinated now, at least of the crowd I see. So hopefully that'll help our participation in them, and we'll have a better experience of our liturgy this morning with the words in front of our eyes for the hymns this morning. Thank you.
Good morning, and today we welcome today as our celebrant, Bishop Robert Flock. Bishop Flock is the bishop of the Diocese of San Ignacio de Velasco in Bolivia. Bishop Flock has been with us before, and he has some local ties. His sister is Jenny Wakuda, who is both a parishioner and teaches second grade at Prairie Catholic. So with warmest welcome, we welcome Bishop Robert Flock.
Thank you. So I'm happy to be with you again. I was supposed to be here last year, and it didn't work, so decided to come to the same parish as I signed up for a year ago. And as you might imagine, I'm after your pocketbooks, besides your faith and prayers. So this is Mission Appeal Sunday as well for Holy Family St. Gabriel St. John Church here in Prairie du Chien. As we begin, let us place our lives in the hands of Almighty God and ask forgiveness for any sins and failings that we may have.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. For he fashioned all things that they might have been, and the creatures of the world are wholesome, and there is not a destructive drug among them, nor any domain of the netherworld on earth, for justice is undying. For God formed man to be imperishable, the image of his own nature he made him. But by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who belong to his company will experience it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, as you excel in every respect, in faith, discourse, knowledge, all earnestness, and in the love we have for you, may you excel in this gracious act also. For you know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Not that others should have relief while you are burdened, but that, as a matter of equality, your abundance at the present time should supply the needs, their needs, so that their abundance may also supply your needs, that there may be equality. As it is written, whoever had much did not have more, and whoever had little did not have less. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." He went off with him. A large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue's official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. why trouble the teacher any longer? Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dear friends in Christ, so as I mentioned earlier, I was supposed to be here last year. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be with you this year and for your continued generosity for my mission work in Bolivia. Just so you know, I myself also have an AstraZeneca shot that I got in Bolivia about a month and a half ago or so. And as soon as I arrived, the very same day in La Crosse, I got myself a Johnson & Johnson vaccine. They said, 2 weeks, you're fully vaccinated, so that's Wednesday. So I got 3 days to go. I've worked in Bolivia since 1988. The first 25 years as a missionary of the Diocese of La Crosse at our parish in Santa Cruz, followed by 4 years as the auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of Cochabamba, and now 4.5 years as bishop of my own diocese, San Ignacio de Velasco. That's like if you were to say La Crosse of Wisconsin, you know. There's more than one San Ignacio in Bolivia, so we add that on. It's really St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuit order for whom the diocese is named. My original plan way back then was a 5-6 year adventure in South America. On July 13th, it'll be 33 years since I first set foot in that country. The Diocese of San Ignacio covers an area 16% larger than the state of Wisconsin. It's a huge territory. And so as I visit the various parishes and communities, I spend much of my time on the road, and many of those roads are unpaved. My priests and I need good four-wheel drive vehicles, and we spend a lot of money just for gasoline and vehicle maintenance to attend to poor communities, many of whom the collection amounts to just a few coins. However, we do enjoy a very rich cultural and Catholic heritage. The area was first evangelized by Jesuit missionaries from 1691 till 1767, when they were expelled from the Spanish territories of the New World. They had simply done too good of a job in creating their mission settlements to be tolerated by those who wished to enslave the native populations. Sadly, there followed a century and a half of both corrupt political administration and near abandonment by the church. Both the population and the economy of the area fell terribly during that period. And that lasted until Franciscan missionaries from Austria came in 1930, and there was created the Apostolic Vicariate of Chiquitos, The region is called Chiquitos. In Spanish, that means like the little people, but it's not because they're little. When the Spanish saw their huts that they lived in with these low doors designed to keep mosquitoes out, they just thought everybody was like little African pygmies or something. And so it got that name, the Chiquitos region. And so they kind of rebuilt the church, the Franciscans. But the traditions that the Jesuits had left behind, many of them are still intact today. And the Franciscans restored the beautiful churches that were built way back when, before the Jesuits were expelled, and one or two a little bit afterwards. And so 6 of the 10 missions that they created in that area are today UNESCO World Heritage Sites. As a farm boy from Wisconsin, I'm rather proud to be the bishop of this area in Bolivia. Most of my priests are natives of the area. A few parishes are covered by foreign missionaries. All of them need financial assistance as well as funding to help maintain our churches and school. So again, I thank you for your generosity. 25 parishes and another 250 communities that are attended to by my priests in this area. About half of them, at some point or another so far, have contracted COVID-19. Few had to be hospitalized. I'm grateful that none of them of my priests passed away. However, in Bolivia, on a national level, at least 20 priests succumbed to the virus since the pandemic began, and one of our bishops there died also. Big, strong, robust Italian guy, the last that we would have expected. I myself have had 7 tests so far, all negative. I did lose one employee to COVID as well as a close friend. Bolivia is presently experiencing a third wave, and so far has only managed to fully vaccinate about 5% of the population. Reason why I got my Johnson & Johnson is because I'm not sure if the second dose will be available when I get back to Bolivia for the AstraZeneca. Today's reading touches on the subject of our faith in the context of death. The Book of Wisdom. God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. And in the Gospel, Jesus raises back to life a 12-year-old girl. She was one of only 3 whom Jesus so favored, according to the Gospels. There was also a young man, the only son of the widow of Nain. I suspect when Jesus saw the funeral procession going out and perhaps knew the situation, he anticipated, he saw his own future, the Blessed Virgin Mother, and he, the only son of a widow, and her left without who to take care of her, gave the task to the beloved disciple. So he raised that young man back to life and gave him to his mother. And of course, Lazarus, personal friend, brother to Martha and Mary. Jesus would stay at their house in Bethany when he went to Jerusalem for one reason or another. But not long after the resurrection of Lazarus, Jesus himself would face the cross and give his last breath, only to rise from the dead 3 days later, glorified, unlike the little girl, Lazarus, and the young man, never to die or suffer again. Talitha koum. Little girl, arise. Such simple words, and yet filled with power and compassion. I think it's worth noting that although Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith, trust," his intervention on the part of the 12-year-old was not conditioned upon that faith. Most of the people ridiculed him. Jesus simply chose to raise this child. Others he did not. And I think it's important to understand that our faith does not give us the ability to manipulate Almighty God. Nor does it mean that we're going to get what we want in prayer, however good and right it might seem. Jesus did say, when you get together and pray for anything, your prayer will be answered. But our prayers and God's answers do not depend on us having so much faith so that, oh, I got my prayer answered because I have faith, but you didn't because you must not have enough faith. That's a rather cruel interpretation of the idea. And in the end, such thinking is not truly faith, it's superstition. It works the same way as believing that if I break a mirror, I'm going to have 7 years of bad luck, walk under a ladder, something's going to fall on me. When in reality, that has nothing to do with anything. But, you know, if you got that in your head and you break a mirror, then the next awful thing that happens, that's because I broke the mirror. That's how the thinking works. And sometimes they'll say, well, I prayed and I got what I wanted, and so it's because I prayed. Well, maybe, maybe not. I'm always reminded, today is the 13th Sunday in ordinary time. Back in my college days on one 13th Sunday, I was driving across the state of New York with a friend to visit his family out east. And just as my 1965 Plymouth Fury 3 marked 113,000 miles, the water pump broke, tore up the radiator, and there we sat. The repairs cost $169. That's 13 squared. Nowadays it'd be 1,300, you know. On that same trip, we had a couple of flat tires on the way, and I got stopped for speeding on the way back. In those days, we had those gas shortages, and you had to go 55 on the freeway, and I was going 80. I'm good at math, and I kept calculating how much time I was saving, you know, and up at another 5. The miracle is I didn't get a ticket, but none of that had anything to do with the number 13. It was the state my ancient car was in and how I drove it. That's what was going on. So what good is our faith if it doesn't mean we're going to get our way with God? Well, faith means we trust God regardless. It means we believe His will is better than ours. His wisdom is greater than our own. And true faith helps us to discover what God's will is and to appreciate the wisdom behind it. Sometimes our faith helps us to discover the true meaning of what's happening in our lives and how we need to handle the situation we find ourselves in. And sometimes we may have to wait until the next life for that. In a global pandemic, I believe, I would say that our faith tells us, that we first of all are being asked to understand that we are not as in control of our lives as we might think. We are not all powerful. We are not God. And the pandemic has told us that and humbled us before its power. And secondly, if God is saying anything to us during this time, it's a request to care for one another. Not in an America first kind of way, but in a global kind of way. It's a global pandemic. It needs global answers. Now, when I say that, it occurs to me, I hear every time I get on an airplane and come home, which has never happened, but if the oxygen mask falls, put it on yourself first and then help the people next to you, because if you're unconscious, you can't do much good for others. And I tell people in Bolivia when they complain, oh, they got all those vaccines in the States and we don't have hardly any here. Well, no government is going to neglect their own population. No elected government is going to neglect their own population before they help others. But the response does need to be global. And if it is not, then we are not our brother's keeper. And so I think God is telling us to be more global. John Paul II said we need global solidarity in a globalized world. Sometimes our faith means take up your cross and follow me. And that's what our health professionals have done throughout the pandemic, many at the cost of their own lives. That takes faith. And it's what nearly all of us have done to avoid spreading a potentially deadly disease, putting on those awful masks all the time and being careful with our hands and what we touch and who we touch and how we touch. And we're grateful if we're starting to pull out of that. But it means we are careful and not careless in caring for one another. That's faith. And it's also hope and love. And finally, our faith means that one day, even if all that's left of our body is a few ashes, as is the case of many cremated in this pandemic, one day we expect to hear the words of Jesus Christ saying to us something very much like, "Talitha koum, arise." And our response? I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me.